I agree with Pastor Rich. This is one of my favorite Sundays all year long, when we get together and worship together, because it gives me just a little glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. On Good Friday, I had an opportunity to be with 7 different preachers. Now, I'm going to let you know that each of those preachers were told they could only speak about 5 to 7 minutes. There were only 2 women, and the rest were men. I'm going to tell you, we women stayed in within our group. We only spoke about 5 or 7 minutes. So relax. Just because you see a woman up here, don't think you're going to be here all day, okay? This last month or so, we have been looking at the shadow of the cross. Have you ever been in a shadow or seen a child in the shadow? I'm just going to do some review here for the Methodist Church. When a little child is in the shadow, they see their shadow, and they look. What do you see them do sometimes? They run away, and they get mad because that shadow keeps following them. I know when I was a kid, there was times at night I'd see a shadow on my wall, and I'd get scared, and I'd say, oh, there's a monster in my room, because that shadow was scary, and I didn't know what was going on in that shadow. Shadows can be scary. But at the same time, shadows can be revealing. It was a couple years ago, I was going for a walk with my husband, and I looked at my shadow and I said, I gotta quit eating the chocolate. The shadow was revealing things I didn't like. And that's the way it is with the shadow of the cross. When we look at what's going on in the shadow of the cross, we see all kinds of things happening, and it reflects on us. The first Sunday that we looked at that, we looked at the shadow of the cross as it reflected on the religious leaders. And when we saw those religious leaders, it exposed in us the hard-heartedness of our own lives. Sometimes we don't want to allow Jesus to do things in our lives. We're okay. We know the rules, just like the religious leaders. Then also, the shadow of the cross can reflect on our decisions as we look at Pilate in the shadow of the cross. Pilate had to make some really important decisions. How do we do sometimes when it comes to giving up our rights and our power, like Pilate had to? The shadow of the cross is also reflected on that torn curtain. When Jesus was on the cross, that curtain tore in two when he died. And that represents the opening of the access to God for all of us. The shadow of the cross reveals that the gospel message is for everyone. The shadow of the cross also reflects on the disciples. What happened there in the garden? One betrayed them, and the other 11 ran away. It also reflects on our fear sometimes. When we see things in our world and we see opposition, we want to run away in fear too. Sometimes we even want to run in fear in the things that God is asking us to do. Then last week, we looked at the shadow of the cross and how it reflects on our vision. What do we see when we look at the people who were standing there on the side of the shadow of the cross and mocking along with the soldiers and the religious leaders? What do we see at the shadow of the cross? When we see things and hear things of people mocking us as believers, do we just kind of shrivel away? Or do we continue to believe what we know is true? Today we're going to look at the shadow of the cross and how it reflects on God himself. It's interesting the things that happened. The moment that I want to share with you is that moment of abandonment. You know that all of us probably at one time or another have experienced abandonment. I don't know about you, but in our neighborhood, sometimes we'd all get together and we'd play hide and seek, and I remember this happening one time. There was the one kid that we didn't really like to play with very much, but we invited him to come in and play hide and seek with us, and we all hid after we counted to 100, and he hid. And while he was hiding, we weren't really hiding. We ran off and went to the park and left him behind. He was abandoned once again. There's a lot of abandonment going on even in our world today. In fact, they say that that's probably the worst abuse that goes on with children today, is being abandoned by their parents. The pain of an abandoned father who wasn't involved in the child's life, that hurts both the boys and the girls. Or the mother who made the decision to give up her child or not have the child. Abandonment. It hurts. It's painful. And that's where we are today when we reflect on the cross. When we see the cross, we see that Jesus had the Father's approval from the beginning, but now he feels abandoned. In both Matthew and Mark, we see when Jesus is feeling the guilt and the shame of all of our sin on him, what does he say from the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? He feels like God has turned away. God's not doing anything to help him. But we have to go back and look and see Jesus' life. Throughout his life, God has always shown his approval of Jesus. Remember when he was baptized, the Spirit came down and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." There were many times when Jesus even gave credit. He said, "God is my Father. He is my source. He's my life. He's my essence. He and I are one." We continually saw God approve of Jesus as his Son. And everything that Jesus did was according to his will, to God's will and God's purpose in his life. But at this moment, it feels like God has turned away from him, that God can't even look at him. What's happening? What's going on? God is so holy. And there's all that sin on him. And God's not doing anything to rescue him. In Isaiah chapter 53, it tells us, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we were healed." He took that punishment, and it feels like God has turned away. The shadow of the cross falls on God. Did God abandon his Son? It tells us throughout the scripture that in Deuteronomy, it says anyone who hangs on the pole is cursed of God. In Galatians 3:13, it says, "Christ redeemed us upon the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, as it was written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole.'" That means that he was rejected by the people. He was cursed among the people. He was, by the law of God's law, he was cursed. He was excluded from the covenantal life that God had promised. At that moment, he was condemned, and it looks like he's been abandoned. But I want you to think about this for a moment. When you were still living in your sin, do you think God saw you and looked upon you? I think he did, because otherwise you wouldn't be here today. If he had looked away, he would have left you to your sin. Let's consider Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve committed the sin and hid away, where did God show up? He went right back there to the garden, to the place that he was supposed to meet Adam and Eve. He knew already what had happened, but he stood there waiting for them. He didn't turn away from them. He chose Abraham to be the the father of his promise, the father of the nation of Israel. Did Abraham always get it right? I don't think so. I mean, even when he knew that God had promised him he was going to have a child someday, he tried to fix it himself. When he got into some bad situations with rulers in the land, he lied, "This is my sister." But God continued to say, "Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation out of you." Look out throughout history. David, a man after God's own heart, God didn't turn away. What does that do to us when God looks at us with his grace? It brings conviction. It shows us, reveals to us that we have sin in our lives that's separating us from God. And for the first time, Jesus felt that. He was separated from a holy God. And he felt abandoned, but God didn't turn his back from him. See, God was actually really risking, taking a big risk by showing us his love that way. That's kind of a big deal because it has a lot to do with how we view God. A.W. Tozer put it this way: what I think about God is the most important thing about me. How you think, what you think about God, really reflects on a lot about whether you will even believe in God. People who reject God do it because of their view of God. And people who embrace God do it because of their view of God. I've shared with the Methodist Church that I have a young friend. He grew up as a missionary kid. His parents are still missionaries serving in other countries. He married a Russian girl who had given her life to Christ. And he, at that time, was a follower of Christ himself. But then something happened in his life that he didn't like. And he all of a sudden decided God didn't exist because God didn't do things his way. Do you see how we view God really reflects on how we're going to respond to him? And I'm concerned that people who think that God abandoned Jesus have a really bad view of God. They don't understand that God loved us so much that he allowed his son to take on that sin. Jesus himself loved us so much that he took on all of our sin. And at that moment, a holy God allowed our sin to die with Christ. But today, we know the end of the story, don't we? Because we know that, yes, he was buried. He was in the grave for 3 days, but God showed up and God brought life back into that body. And Jesus is not a dead savior. He is alive today. The cup is empty. Our savior is alive. And so each one of us has to reflect and look at what do we view about God? How do we see God? Do we understand that he's a loving, caring God that loved us so much that he sent his own son so that we could have life? I think that most of you here today, I'm just thrilled about that testimony this morning, but most of you here today believe that. You believe that Jesus died for you and he rose again so that we can have eternal life. The good news is that the story doesn't end. He's coming again. Let's pray together. Father God, I love this day, the day we celebrate resurrection, the day that Jesus came back to life. And because of his death, we have the hope of heaven as well. And Lord, I am so grateful to know that this is not the end, that you are growing the church. You're calling us out to be a witness, and you're coming back again for us. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.